Father, we are thankful. We are thankful. We celebrate you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever. Have your way. Do what no man can do. Reveal yourself to your people like never before. We receive the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, that we may walk, O God, in the fullness of that which you have revealed and released into our lives. The verdict is in. And you have made us more than conquerors. And we give you praise, Most High God. Thank you for being here. Thank you for a new month. The month of covenant. Lord, we give you praise. That covenant promises will be released unto us this month. For you look, O God, at the rainbow of covenant from your throne room in the place that is graced with emeralds. And Lord, O God, this day we declare your blessings released, and they cannot be hindered, they cannot be stopped. And your people will exalt your exalted name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord, wherever you are. This is the day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. In just a moment, after Mama comes and leads us in our time of prayer and intercession, I'm going to continue with that the Lord has given to us to remind us that He is a covenant-keeping God. I want to welcome you all, wherever you're listening. You may be in Libya, you might be in the U.S., you might be in Ethiopia, in Russia, wherever you are listening from, right here in Winnipeg, Canada. Know this, that there is no distance in the Spirit, that God is here with us, and so He is where you are, and miracles, that's just natural to Him. And that's natural for you today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Mama is going to come at this time and lead us in our time.
God day, everybody.
God day.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Lockdown or no lockdown, God cannot lock Himself away from you. Access has been granted to all of us. Say amen. Somebody say, thank God. I'm alive and well. I can still praise Him in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Well, because of the numbers, we are allowed very limited, just 10. So we pray for all of you that are home. You can gather your children around yourself, your family, as we pray together that God will meet you where you are. There is no distance in the Spirit. There is no wall, no legal thing on earth can stop God from touching any one of us. Say amen. Hallelujah. Father, we welcome your awesome presence. We thank you, Almighty God, that we have a Father. Our Father is alive and well. Our Heavenly Father is still in charge. He's not a senile old man that cannot remember things or know what to do. He knows every detail of all that is going on. So, Lord, we thank you that we have you on our side. We are on the Lord's side, and the Lord is on our side. We thank you that we have a covenant with you. You are a covenant-keeping God. You are God who have cut a covenant of blood with us, the blood of Jesus, the blood of your Holy Son. And, Lord, that covenant is working in our lives. You cut a covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant blood is still working. What you have promised, you will do. Your promises are not yes and nay. They are yes and amen. So what you have guaranteed us shall come to pass. For us and our household, for every member of our family, for our parents, grandparents, our sons and our daughters, our spouses, their spouses, our children and our children's children, and all our family members, biological, spiritual, partners, extended family, every one of them, you are the God of covenant. Remember your promises. Remember your promises. You are a covenant-keeping God. You keep your side, so we hold you to your name. You hold your word above all your name. And your word is that you will do what we ask or think and beyond what we do. So we thank you, Almighty God, that this is a day that you have made for every one of us to rejoice and be glad in it. Things that have troubled us, you say, trouble us no more. Things that have upset us no more. Things that have disturb us no more. This is a day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a word that goes forth now, that walks in our lives, walks in our family, works in our personal life, our corporate life, our church life, our nation life, our city life, in the name of Jesus. It's a day of mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is a day of mercy, a day of great faithfulness. Father, we bless your holy name. We expect great things. We expect mighty things. We expect miracles. We expect answers to prayers. We expect divine health. We expect divine prosperity. We expect divine wealth. We expect divine harmony. We expect divine unity. We expect, oh God, the things that are good. We expect COVID to leave our nation, to leave the nations of the earth. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that this is a day of favor. Blessings and favor, we give you praise. This brand new month of May, as we march forward, May is the fifth month, five representing your grace. Your word said Noah found grace in the sight of God. When sin was rampant, he found grace. As sin is rampant in our world, we find grace. Grace, 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 grace to every mountain in the name of Jesus. We receive the grace of our Lord. We march forward. May we march forward. We continue to see. He said, the word of the Lord said, may the Lord bless us. So may the Lord bless every one of us. In the name of Jesus, it's the month of blessing. May the Lord bless. Everybody say, may the Lord bless me. Bless me and my household. May the Lord bless me and my household, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for divine health. Those that are sick, we declare that they be healed, be restored, be made whole, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that they are completely restored, strength to strength, power to power, favor to favor, grace to grace, and blessing to blessing, in Jesus' mighty name. We ask now for the Spirit of the living God to rest upon us, rest to be upon us, to move upon us, to flow in us, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and counsel, and might, and of the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to read a scripture today. You can read the whole. I'm just going to read maybe two verses. I feel like reading more. I think I'll read more than two. Let's see. Amos 3. So I'll read some parts. You can read the whole. It's not much. It's very few verses. I think there are 15 verses in Amos 3. So you can read that and finish that at your own time. Let's read from verse 3. They can two walk together except they be agreed. Will a lion roar in the forest when he had no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? May you not be the one that is snared by the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord had not done it? Surely, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion had roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, may this month, may the Spirit of the Lord fall upon us, that we will not be any prey to any enemy, that we will learn to walk together. Unity can only come if we make a decision that we will do things together. Now, if one is going one way and the other is going another way, then you're not going anywhere. So you're setting us up yourself for a prey. We will not be a prey. We will be the people that pray. Say amen. Say amen. We will not be a snare. We will not fall. We will rise. In the name of Jesus. We will be the one roaring, and other things will be running away. Say amen. Fear will not be our portion in this May. In the name of Jesus. Let God begin to do things and begin to speak to us. Begin to reveal his secret for us. Begin to speak to us, the prophet. Say, God, we do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servant, the prophets. May we pray that all of us begin to turn ourselves to the Lord, that we become his servants, that we begin to prophesy what God says. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When the lions of the world are roaring, we will not fear. Let the lion of the tribe of Judah roar for us, that the God of heaven will begin to touch our lives, that we'll begin to prophesy. Father, I pray now that you touch every family. With all that is going on, they will not be prophesying doom. They will not be prophesying things are falling apart or evil words. Every evil word spoken to this very second, we cancel and bring them to nothing. We bring all those judgment words to nothing. We say no to every one of them. We declare and decree crop failure upon every one of them. In the name of Jesus. The word says in Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rise up in judgment against us, we shall condemn. Lord, that the things that belong to you are ours. In the name of Jesus, that this is the heritage of the children of the Most High God. We take this heritage and we speak life into our family. Speak to ourselves, to our family, to our nation, to our finances, to our health, to our churches. In the name of Jesus. Churches will not be closed permanently. They will begin to open again in the name of Jesus. We speak, oh God, that COVID will leave our city and leave our nation and leave the nations of our world. Lord, we pray for the people in India right now that you touch them, comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus, that this is a good time for them to begin to turn to the Lord, to cry to the Lord. To cry to the Lord. You are the God who hears the cry of your children. When the children of Israel were being oppressed and things were destroying them, they cried and you answered. And you sent a deliverer. Lord, send deliverance to India. Send help to them. And all the nations, and even Canada, and even United States of America, Israel, and all the nations of the world. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Let this virus and its plague be over. In the name of Jesus, thank you for solutions, answers. In the name of Jesus, Lord, continue to prosper our nations. Let our nations not fall into recession, because the poor will suffer and the weak will die. But Lord, for your mercy's sake, have mercy on all nations of the earth, that we will turn back to our Savior and cry to our God to save and save your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we fear not. Every spirit of fear we cancel, says fear has torment, but your love, perfect love, cast out every fear. So we receive the love of God, the perfect love of God, that every fear will be eradicated from family members, from church families, from personal lives, in the name of Jesus. For your word has told us, fear not. Somebody say, I fear not. I fear not, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your boldness, for your confidence, for your strength, for your love, and for your goodness and your mercy. Follow us all the days of our life. Cover everyone with the precious blood of Jesus. Cover every church family from 120 to zero, seed form, womb, and all those running around. We cover every member of our families with the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that every enemy that sees us will pass over. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We are strong, we are bold, we are healthy, we are wealthy, we are blessed, we are very vibrant, and we are joyful, and we are rejoicing. In Jesus' name, bless the word of the Lord that comes down with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy and truth, and bless the tithe and the offering of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thanks. We give God praise. Amen. This is a special month. Yesterday, Mom and I stepped into this country. Praise the Lord. Forty is a very special number. 40 is the number that says that you come into the fullness of the promise you step across. And so we do so today, knowing that God is faithful. We came with little, just our suitcases, not much money. Our oldest was yet in the womb. The enemy tried severally to even take him out, but it was vibrant and strong, because the promise of God is yes and amen. Praise God. Praise God. So today, when we talk about covenant matters, the promises of God, I am very aware that God is a promise-keeping God. Too many times the enemy wants to push us in the direction of thinking that that thing God said will not happen. But God always has his set time. Amen? He has his set time. And they that wait upon the Lord shall have renewed strength. They run and they are not weary. They walk and they don't faint. Amen? As we look through the Word of God, we see God making covenants. The primary one that we know that we are connected to is the Abrahamic covenant. But before the covenant that God made with Abraham, God made a covenant with a man called Noah. And that covenant was to affect all mankind also. Today I want to explore some thoughts with us as we push onto what God is saying to us. Let's look first of all from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 14 and 15. It says here, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant. Someone say, keepest covenant. There's no God in heaven or in earth which keepest covenant and shows mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Notice the statement that God keeps covenant and shows mercy to all his servants who walk before him with all their hearts. The Word of God says you should love God with all of your heart. So when God talks about mercy unto the servants that walk before him with all their hearts, he's talking about servants that love him completely. They just love him. It's not because they do not fail, because if they do not fail, they don't need mercy. They need mercy because sometimes they mess up. But God is, what I want us to see about the covenants of God is that God is making covenants with us that are frail, that are weak, that are incapable of keeping the covenant and decides to keep his side and keep our side together. Amen? Because of mercy. Praise the Lord. Because of mercy. The more we grow in the things of God, the more we come to understand that this is all about God. And that whatever it is that we do, whatever it is that is our part, God comes inside of us to do our part. Hello? Somebody listening? God comes inside of you to do the part that you're supposed to do that you cannot do because only he can do it. And that's what we call grace. Praise God. God doing our part for us, in us, through us, with us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 15, the Word of God says, thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him and speakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand. You fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. God, you made it possible. Hallelujah. With your hand. Now, the promises that Solomon is talking about here, about him being brought on the throne and then the building of the temple and all of that, he says it happened by the hand of God. And that is true. But it's also true that God did it through people. The hand of God is manifested through people. When you and I engage with God, we become his hands. We become his feet in the earth. And so when we talk about God keeping covenant, we are not separating the fact that he is going to use people whose hearts are stayed on him. Praise the Lord. Let's go a little bit further. And let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Beginning to read from verse 15. He says, be ye mindful always of his covenant. God is. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. The word of God that he commanded to 1,000 generations. You know that when God spoke about Israel and made a promise to Abraham, that promise is still working till this very moment. All the nations that came against Israel to try to wipe it out, all of them, none of them exist. Those people do not exist anymore. Those nations don't exist. So when you talk about the Egyptians that are there right now are not the original Egyptians. When you talk about any nation that came against the people of God, not one of them. But the promise of God continues on for 1,000 generations. I tell you this, that the enemies that seek your downfall will rise and fall, but you will keep on rising in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I will keep on rising. My enemies may try to rise, but they will fall. But I will keep on rising in Jesus' mighty name. Many years ago, I read and I did speak about this. It's got to be about 30 years ago. I read about a bamboo tree, a Chinese bamboo. And this bamboo, and this is interesting that it can happen this way. When it is planted, takes years. I don't remember how many years, 12, 13, maybe even more years. Five, okay. 5 years, and it doesn't show up for 5 years. Nothing. It's just there, bare ground. Nothing. But on that fifth year, and I take her word for it, it shoots up, and within days, it's gone up about 30 feet in a few days. All these years, nothing is happening, and poof, up it goes. That is the story of your life. That's the story of my life, that it seems like nothing is happening, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. But how on earth did God give man the wisdom that for 5 years he keeps on watering something that doesn't seem to be growing? That is God putting wisdom inside of a man. Because until it first happened, nobody knew it was going to happen that way. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all that something like that can happen, because I'm reminded about an experience that Mom and I had with our youngest daughter. She, when she was a baby and started crawling and walking, would go to the flower pot and grab a whole chunk of soil and start eating it. We kept on saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not good. Don't do that." But she kept on doing it. So when we went to the doctor and we said to the doctor, during our checkup, we said, "Doctor, this child keeps on going to this flower pot and eating sand all the time." "Oh," he said, "oh, she needs iron. She needs iron." And gave her the prescription. We gave her the prescription for iron. And that was the last time she went to that flower pot. How did she know that in that flower pot was what she needed? God does with us supernatural things because he is a covenant-keeping God. Listen, God is going to direct your path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 12,000 generations, the blessings of God, because he is a God who is mindful of his covenant. Say it with me. God is always mindful of his covenant. Let me skip ahead. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3. God is mindful of his covenant. There are two things that God is always looking at as he establishes his covenant. The covenant is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. But watch this. He says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and as a sardine stone." It's talking about God and his throne. And he says, "And there was a rainbow." Watch this. "And there was a what? A rainbow round about the throne in sight." In sight. "Like unto an" what? "An emerald." The rainbow was right there in sight. Why is the rainbow right there in sight? Because God is mindful of his covenant. He made a covenant with a man called Noah. And he put a rainbow and said, "Destruction, I move out of the way. I give you authority." Is somebody listening? And he puts it right in his sight. Not because God forgets. But even though he does not forget, he puts it right in sight. And he says to himself, "I'm a covenant-keeping God. I am a covenant-keeping God." There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. You know, this month, they say, is the month of the emerald. It is the month, the fifth month for us. And it's the month 5 representing grace. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis, I believe it's in 6, Genesis 6 and verse 8, it talks about Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You and I find grace in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let me go on real quickly, because there's certain things I want to get across to us this morning by the Spirit of the living God. In Genesis chapter 9, beginning to read from verse 1. Genesis 9 and verse 1. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply and what? Replenish the earth." This is the word of the Lord to Noah. But those are the same words of God to the first Adam. God, when God made that statement to Adam, he was making a declaration, a covenant declaration over his life, and saying to Adam, this is what's going to happen in your life. Man failed, man messed up, and God restarts, and he starts out with Noah, and he says to Noah, to you and your sons, this is what I'm saying, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 2. He says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hands are they delivered. Now, when you consider those words, it's so easy to just apply those words just to the natural realm. But what God is saying, because you see, demonic activities operate in all three realms. And when satanic powers are operating, they are operating in the terrestrial realm by going into animals and whatever else. I don't know if you've ever seen a possessed animal, but animals are possessed. Or you've seen the powers of darkness operating as birds, occupying the spiritual airspace, or marine spirits. What God is saying is, in whatever realm and in whatever shape the enemy tries to operate, whether it's in the air, in the land, in the sea, in all realms, I'm giving you authority, and your fear shall strike into the hearts of all those realms. Praise the Lord. Please hear what I'm saying to you. I'm not just talking about animals, and neither is God just talking about animals. He's talking about every manifestation. You see, because the devil went and showed up in a reptile. Do you remember that? Okay. And he says, you are going to crawl. Let's go on. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Remember this, God says to us that he will make our enemies meat unto us. Now, God is speaking to us about natural things. Yes, he's talking about natural meat, and he's talking about natural herbs and all of that. That's all true. But the word that the Lord is bringing to bear, because remember that the reason that God had to destroy that world of Noah was because of satanic demonic activities that infiltrated the lives of men, and how the enemy was trying to contaminate the lineage of Christ. So the attack and the destruction that came about was to deal not just with natural things, but with spiritual things. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Verse 4. But flesh with life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. 6. Whoso shedded man's blood, By man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. God made us in the image of God. And therefore says, you and I must not shed the blood of man because he has been created in the image of God. 7. And you, talking about man now, Noah, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Say it with me. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. What do you think that was? A suggestion? It's a command of God. So say it this way. I will be fruitful and multiply. I will bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm going to do because that's what God said I should do. And if God said, let there be light, and light was, then when God said, be ye fruitful, I am fruitful. I multiply. I bring forth abundantly. 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I, say it with me, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Praise the Lord. God says, I establish my covenant. God says, I will establish my covenant with you. Say these words with me. Lord, establish your covenant with me in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the word of God says in the next verse, and with every living creature that is with you, every living creature that is with you. In other words, everything that is in agreement with you, whether it be the fowl or the cattle, or the beasts of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. God is saying it again. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. Now let's consider, we're talking about the covenant that God made with a man called Noah. Yes? But what does Noah mean? Noah means rest. So this covenant is with the one who is resting with God. When you stop struggling and fighting, but just simply just rest. God is saying, I'm making a covenant with you. Relax. God says to us, now that we are risen with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places, he says to our Lord Jesus Christ, sit. Let me take care of it. And God wants to take care of the battles in your life and in my life. It is his covenant. Because, you see, child of God, whatever it is that is the enemy that wants to take you out is much stronger than you. It's time to stop struggling. It's time to start resting in the goodness of God. It is so easy for us to become restless because we don't know how to wait. But if you're going to be one who experiences a covenant relationship with God, you got to learn the power of rest. Abraham was busy fighting off the birds. You remember him? And all the stuff that were coming at the sacrifice is fighting until he's wiped out. Then God started doing his thing. As long as you keep on fighting, you're not ready. They actually warn you when somebody's busy trashing, they're trying to drown, and they're trashing, that's not the time to save them. When they've stopped trashing, that's when you can guide them out, or they will sink you. They will drown you with their fighting. And God just wants you to just rest. Then he can take you. I'm not saying that you can drown God. That's not the point. The point is, you are not savable until you are willing to rest. He makes covenants with people who have come to that place of rest, of just trusting. And so the Word of God tells us, it says to us that God generated a rainbow to establish that covenant that he made. He says, this is a sign. I'm going to put a rainbow. And whenever you see that rainbow, remember that I am the God of covenant. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, when I bring a what? A cloud. What do clouds do? Clouds sort of, you know, when you have a cloudy day, you know, the sun is shining, but it's a dull day. Cloud represents many times in the negative issues. He says that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. In the cloud of Corona, can you see the bow of God? What do you see? You see fear? You see disaster? Or do you see that God has a bow, a rainbow? And says, and I will remember my covenant. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. And every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Whatever that flood is. I am going to remember my covenant. And so he puts that same rainbow in his throne. What is it doing to remind them at all times, I am God, and I'm not going to allow their ways to make me ungodly. Amen? I'm not going to give control to them to determine what I'm going to do. I have decided I'm going to save them. 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 They fall, I'm going to raise them back up. They fall again, I'm going to raise them back up. Fall again, I'm going to raise them back up. I'm going to keep on doing everything. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is a promise, a commitment of God to you and to everything that stands with you. It's not a commitment to God of God to Satan and the forces of darkness that want you destroyed. No, no. The covenant of God is this, that I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Praise the Lord. So you have to qualify for this. And the way you qualify for this is in walking in the spirit of love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that God says he will remember. He says, and I will remember my covenant. In Psalm 105, in verse 8, he says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We just read that in First Chronicles, right? But let's go deeper here and see more things that he says. He says, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. He made a covenant commitment to Abraham and made an oath to Isaac. Isaac, what I told your father, I am going to do it. Why is he making an oath? Because there is timing in God. He says to us in Genesis that Israel was going to be in Egypt for 400 years. That was part of when he was making this covenant. And he's saying to Isaac, Isaac, this is what I said I'm going to do, and there's a timing. Just hang in there, because the timing will come and there will be a fullness of time when there will be a manifestation of what I said. Let's go on. He says, and confirmed the same unto Jacob. So from covenant to oath to a law. Hallelujah. And to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. 12. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Thank God. Watch this. Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets what? No harm. Was he talking to one person, or talking about one person, or about a people? A people. Please hear this. Mama read us from Amos 3:7, that God will do nothing except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Paul says, I wish that you all do what? Prophesy. The prophetic word of God is in your mouth. Now, what am I trying to communicate to us today? The covenant of God is connected to the prophetic word in your mouth. What are you saying out of your mouth? Because you are going to get what you say. Are you listening? Are you hearing me right there? You're going to get what you say. If all you are saying is stuff not being right, hello, you are welcoming into your life what is not right. And when what is not right comes your way, don't complain. You invited it. You said it out of your mouth. You said it. But God is not just talking about us as a group being his prophetic voice. He's also saying, touch not mine anointed. Who are the anointed? One person? All that are in the covenant. It says, touch them not. Don't speak evil about my anointed ones. This one is a special one. I won't say anything bad about that one. And God is saying, no. All of my children are in covenant with me. They are anointed. Someone say, I am in covenant relationship with God. Therefore, I shall not be harmed. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Oh, but I like this coming up. He says, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until. Someone say until. Say it again, until. One more time. Until. Until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord came. That is, the word that God spoke was being released, and that word became the turnaround. Hallelujah. But the one that God was going to use for the turnaround, the Bible says the word of the Lord tried him. And what did it do in verse 20? Praise the Lord. The king sent and what? Loose them. When the word of God came, the king sent and did what? Loose them. When the word of God came, the king sent and what? Loose them. When the word of God came, the king sent and loose them. I tell you what, child of God, your destiny helpers have no choice when the word of God has come. Those that must help you fulfill your divine assignment have no choice but obey the instruction of God, because the word of God has come. The word of God has come to me. The word of God has come to you. The word of God has come to us. Therefore, destiny helpers must now loose us to come into our fulfillment. In Jesus' mighty name. God said they're going to be there for 400 years. And God sent ahead the preparation. There are going to be challenges, because after this Pharaoh, there's going to be another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, and that's going to create problems for the people of God. But God remembers his covenant. Praise the Lord. God remembers his covenant. In Exodus chapter 2, let me skip just for a moment. I'll come back. In Exodus 2 and verse 24, he says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. He remembered it. Let's go back to Psalm 105. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. 20. Verse 20. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. 21. He made him Lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Praise God. He made him Lord or head of his house and ruler over all his substance. And then it says in verse 22, he says, to bind his princes. To bind his princes. In other words, take charge and limit the movement of the princes at his pleasure, at his will, what he decides. May the grace of God, the covenant-keeping God, rest upon our lives, that at will we determine what happens in our land. And teach his senators wisdom. That is obedience to the word of God. Praise God. 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Hear the word of the Lord. He increased his people greatly. Do you remember that word, great, over and over again? Now, God increased his people greatly. He says, increase, multiply. And God is increasing us greatly to make us stronger than our enemies. We may be a handful, but God's intent is to make us so great that we overwhelm every enemy, princes and senators. Hallelujah. Princes and senators. And guess what? Who gave the power to him? Pharaoh did. Who is a Pharaoh? That the satanic forces subdued, because the God of covenant subdued them. I don't know if you're hearing what God is saying to us. It is not by our might nor by our power, but by the Spirit of God. The governments, the Bible says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. That we reign with Christ, in Romans 5. We reign in life. Hallelujah. They became stronger than their enemies. Somebody say with me, I am greatly increased. We are greatly increased because we are covenant people in covenant with the living God. Therefore, we are stronger than our enemies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 God's plan is for us to continually know supernatural increase. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 37. 105, verse 37. The Bible says, when it was time for them to leave Egypt, he says he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. There was not one weakling. Praise the Lord. What happened? Every single one of them, that if there was any sick, maimed person in their midst, on that day when they partook together in the Passover, while the firstborn, the first fruit of Egypt were being destroyed, the people of God inside the covering of the precious blood of that covenant, every single one of them were getting healed. We're getting strengthened. They collected silver and gold and emptied the purses of the Egyptians. And watch this. Watch this. He says, Egypt was glad. Egypt was glad when they departed, because these people had become a problem to them. Hallelujah. They celebrated. Why? For the fear of them fell upon them. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. That we will not be the ones afraid, that the ones in the world that do not know God will be afraid. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God wants to do something new, something extraordinary in our lives, in our time, and we will experience it. Nothing shall stop it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 42 says, it says, why? For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. God remembered. And at the end of our time today, the one simple prayer we're going to pray this morning is, God, remember your promise for us. Psalm 106 and verse 45. Psalm 106 and verse 45. He says, and he remembered for them. He remembered for them. Not just for us, for himself, he remembered for them his covenant. Do you know there are many promises God has made you that you do not remember? The things God promised you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you don't remember. But God can remember for me. Amen? And the Bible says, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He repented. What is this all about? This is God about to bring judgment on a people. And just when he's about to do it, he remembers. And with multiplied mercies, wipes off the slate and gives his people a fresh start. Does anybody need a fresh start today? Well, God is saying, I am going to establish my covenant. And did you notice he kept on saying that to Noah? Because God was restarting everything. And this month we're going to have that very special conference, the spiritual reset. God ordained that. This month is a month of covenant. Amen? God is looking and he sees the rainbow that's there like an emerald right there in sight. In sight, in view. It's not hidden behind some closet, behind some wall, in view. God, remember your covenant. Remember your promises. Because every promise of God is a covenant to you, it's a promise that he wants to keep. But do you know the amazing thing? Are you ready for this? As New Testament people, born again of the Spirit of God, it is hard to find that God had to make any new promises in the New Testament to you. Everything that he said is already done in Christ Jesus. It's all in Christ Jesus. The whole thing that we need to experience is all in Christ Jesus. It's already finished. It's already done. It's not about to be done. It is already done. That's another message all by itself. But what God is saying to us, when he says to us about the establishment of his covenant, he's saying to us basically this: listen, what you've messed up, I am going to restore. That's it. I'm going to restore everything that you've messed up. I don't know how many things I've messed up. I don't know how many things you've messed up. But since God has promised it, and his promises are yes, and in him, amen, he says, I'm going to restore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants total restoration for me and for you, because we have found grace in his sight. Amen? One of the key things that God says that he is going to bring about is the principle of fruitfulness. It started in the garden. It continued on to Noah. And then it continued on to Abraham. And the Abrahamic promise continues for thousands of generations. And it's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. It's so fulfilled in Christ Jesus that the Bible tells us that when Jesus came, there was not a new thing that God needed to do. He says he blessed us with faithful Abraham. He's done it. Whatever it is that we need, we have. The issue is not us not having. The issue is we don't know how to use what we have, or we have forgotten what we have. Let me put it to you this way. Best way I can illustrate it to you is this. If you bought a bike for your son, he's 2-3 years old, you bought it for him. Is it his bike? It is his bike. But does it necessarily mean that he knows how to ride it? You have to teach him how to ride what is his. Yes? Okay. So it is that we also need to learn how to use what God has already given to us. It is ours, but we've not learned how to use it. And the establishment of the covenant of God is about God teaching us how to use what he has given to us, how to understand it. Praise the Lord. I was watching a drama piece the other day, and this lady wanted to turn her television on. And she kept on pressing the power button, kept on pressing the power button, kept on pressing the all day long. She's trying to turn this television on. And the son says, Mom, let me help you. And she wouldn't let him because I want to do it by myself. I want to do it by myself. So all day, she couldn't turn the television on. And some guy came and said, and she's complaining, I don't know why I can't turn this television on. And the guy says, did you switch the button to TV on your remote? And she said, where is that? So she switched it on TV and she pressed power and the TV came on. Ah! It was always available to her, but she did not know how to control it. And one thing the Lord has to do for us is for us to have the capacity, a supernatural capacity, for he is the God who gives us power to get wealth. There are many ways that people are getting wealth, but there is a God way of getting wealth. Because those are ways that God will use to bring about multiplication and increase for us. If we are going to reign over princes and control, we've got to have the wisdom that is higher than their wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ said something remarkable. He said, the children of this world are wiser than my kids. But that's not his intent. That's not his will. We need the higher wisdom. That was an indictment. How can the children of this world be wiser than the children of God? When the children of God come from God. Please consider that thought for a moment. If we're going to be this covenant-keeping people, these people connected to a covenant-keeping God, we have to have this one thing, the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ is already inside of us. So we're going to ask God, teach us how to be connected in the realm of the Spirit so that we can fulfill your mandate with ease, at will, at your pleasure. Bind the princes of Egypt at your pleasure, at your will. Restrict the movements of the enemy at will. That's part of our covenant connection as God's people, at will. God will grant us that which we pray as we will it. He says, what willest thou? What do you want me to do? For me to be that connected, I have to flow with the mind of Christ. That's God's divine plan for you and I. Amen? Praise the Lord. God says to us, be fruitful, multiply. In John chapter 15, the Bible tells us, gives us four levels of fruitfulness. The one God wants us to operate by is one that causes us to operate in a realm of fruitfulness that is beyond natural description. So in John 15 and verse 2, it tells us, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So in John 15, 2, we see two things there. First of all, we see fruitfulness, and then we see more fruit. Both of them are right there in John 15, 2. God calls us to be fruitful, but brings us to a place where we are more fruitful. And then in John 15 and verse 5, he tells us something else. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. So we move from fruit to much fruit. And he tells us that without him, we can do nothing. Amen? For without me, ye can do nothing. And for you to be able to produce that fruit, you've got to abide in me. Praise the Lord. And then in John 15 and verse 16, it tells us something else about the kind of fruit that we are supposed to bring forth. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That's that one word. And that your fruit should what? Remain. So God says here, the one difference here is that our fruit do what? Remain. Remain. That there's permanence to the fruitfulness in our lives. And that whatsoever we shall ask of the Father in his name, this is connected to the permanence of fruitfulness, he may give it you. Praise the Lord. The second prayer that we're going to pray today, this morning, is going to be, God, help me to be not just fruitful, not just to bear more fruit or much fruit, or just even just permanent fruit, but that I will have full access to seeing manifestations of your will in my life and in my community. Amen? Praise the Lord. We will stop there this morning, or else I'll keep on going for the next little while and I'll keep you too long. But we'll stop at this point. So rise with me and let us pray. Let me check on whether your remembrance is up to snuff. What was the first thing I said we're going to pray about? Operate in the mind of Christ. That's good. What else did I say? Covenant keeping God. Okay. All right. Good answers. Keep on trying. You can cheat. You can look at your notes. Praise the Lord. If you want to say, you can. Full access to the manifestations of God's will in my life and community. Praise the Lord. Well, all of those are part of it. But the main thrust of it is this, that God teach us how to operate, because we have all of this. We have access, praise God for that, and everything that everyone has shared so far, but we have to have the ability to learn what God has given to us already and how to use it. So I spent time here in the presence of the Lord earlier today. I reflected on some of the things, and I know it's way out there. But one thing that is obvious to me is right now, this very moment, when I think about my house, as soon as I thought about it, I saw my house. I saw where I was going up the stairs and opening the door and walking in my living room, walking into the kitchen. As I'm talking, I'm doing all of those things. And I'm doing it at will, because at the speed of thought, wherever it is I'm supposed to be. God, I believe that this dimension is a dimension He wants you and I to operate in as His prophetic voice in the earth. It may seem like way out there in La La Land, but I see that day that at will, just like God does it, at will. What did I say? At will. Willing it. I can go from here to there. At the speed of thought, of light, of life in Christ Jesus. How do I do that? Because God does that. I'm created in His image and likeness. I don't know. But is there a way to do that? Absolutely. If I can pick up that phone right now and call somebody in Nigeria, and I can see them on video and chat with them face to face, that was impossible many decades ago. But it's very possible now because somebody learned how. Yeah? If Adam can name all the animals in a flash of time and had lots of time to rest, things in the sea, things in the land, things in the earth, God can do the same with us today. You see, when we operate in that realm and we supersede in every realm, devils will be afraid. Because even the devil cannot do that. I need to be in a totally different flow. But it's a covenant-keeping God that can mount us on wings like eagles because His grace is sufficient. That same God who caused the feeble to come out of Egypt strong, came out with great wealth. That same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The New Testament church has not even moved in the realm that the Old Testament church moved in. We've not seen rivers parted. We've not. But God's word says His word is like a hammer. Praise God. That is going to smash every rock, split it. In the Old Testament, water came out of a rock. And He said, I would have made honey come out of the rock. That's what God said. I would have done that if you just opened your mouth. So I know something. Because the covenant is connected to the prophetic statement. I know that this tongue of mine needs to line up completely with God. And that this tongue of mine must be connected to the mind of Christ. And I want to see that happen. I am not arrogant enough to think that I am anywhere close to anything. But I know there are all these possibilities that God wants to do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. So we're going to ask God, God, covenant-keeping God, teach me your ways. I don't need to read it in some book. I want to have an encounter with God, that God reveals Himself to me in a magnificent way out of His manifold mercies. Because I'm not good enough. If He comes too close, I might die. But mercy. mercy is more than enough to cover and help me tap into my godness in him. Because there are too many people sick that need to be healed. Too many that are dropping dead. And I don't want to be all mouthy. I want manifestation. Do you want that? Can you see needs that can be met that are not being met right now because you don't know how? I want to know the how. So at will, I can do what God says I am called to do. Pray. Lift up your voice wherever you are right now. Just talk to God. I'm tired of playing church. Playing church, that's what kids do. But there is a place in God that you and I need to tap into that frightens the powers of darkness to no end. Because the people that know their God, they're strong, they're mighty, and they do great exploits. Just as I am, oh God, I come without one plea. Just to recognize that your blood was shed for me. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. Alpha, Omega. There is no one like you. Lord, Almighty God. Let us have a revelation of you. May we be filled with supernatural insight to flow in the mandate of grace. This month, transform our lives. You touched a handful of men in the upper room, and the world was turned upside down. God, my Father, do it again. Reveal to us that which you have invested in us, and teach us how to use what you've given to us, that at will we can do that which you've called us to do. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us. Teach us. Teach us. Teach your people. Holy Spirit, do it. Help us to flow in a dimension of supernatural favor and grace like never before. We know you will do it. And your name, O God, will be forever exalted. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Second thing we're going to pray is that God grace us with the grace of multiplication. But before we pray that prayer, I'd like for us to look at this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And we're going to see it in both realms, in the natural and in the spiritual. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." We talked about fruit, more fruit, much fruit, permanent fruitfulness. God tells us that when we sow sparingly, whether it's of our time, of our finances, or whatever, he says, we guaranteed a harvest that is sparingly. To the measure that we mete out, to that same measure, it shall be mete back to us. This is when we sow bountifully. I believe it's the Amplified. It says, so that blessings or needs of other people can be met, then God will also bless us bountifully. If you want bountiful eyes, you got to sow bountifully. Too many people sow sparingly, as if they're giving a change to God. They give sparingly. I'll go to church on Sunday. I'll go to church Sunday morning. But whenever other times are there, when they can't serve God or minister to others, they don't have that time to do that because they have done their Sunday thing. Some people, it's Easter, that's when they come. And some people are Easter and Christmas. And just maybe Thanksgiving, and just maybe Mother's Day, possibly not Father's Day. You sow sparingly, you get a harvest sparingly. Give your life. It says God makes covenant and honors his covenant to his servants who follow after him with all their heart. With all their heart. That includes your finances, the giftings and abilities God has given to you. You don't keep and hide the talents God has given to you. After a while, he takes it from you and gives it to somebody else. Today, we're going to pray, God, help me to be a person who sows bountifully and therefore reaps bountifully. Will you do that? Pray. Lord, O God, help me, O God, to sow bountifully and reap bountifully of your good pleasure. Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, for your word has come alive in us. In the mighty name of Jesus, bountifulness, bountifulness in sowing and in receiving. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And finally, we're going to pray this prayer. The Bible says that Joseph was limited until the word of the Lord came. We're going to declare right now that the word of the Lord come. The word of the Lord, come. Hallelujah. So that we are authorized to be everything that God has. Now, when I say the word of the Lord, come, I'm not saying that the word of the Lord has not come. No, I'm saying that we recognize that the word of God has come and that our freedom is already established. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the word of God comes, faith rises. Insight, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all that you and I need begins to flow freely and richly. So would you begin to prophesy over your life right now that the word of God has come And the word of God has brought you through. The word of God tried him. In other words, the word of God processed his life and sanctified it and placed a verdict. You are now in the right place to fulfill my mandate. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, your word has come. It is manifest. It is manifest. And every satanic judgment, every satanic assignment is crushed and brought to naught. And your glory is even now revealed. For your word has come. Faith is risen in us. We have gone through the process in time. And now we have arrived at the time of manifestation. Let there be a manifestation of your perfect will. And let the authority that you have given be, oh God, used powerfully. Let that which the enemy has held in his hand be released now in the mighty name of Jesus. That the powers of darkness, the princes of darkness, are bound in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, everything lining up for our purpose, everything lining up for our destiny helpers, oh God, are released to work on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your name is exalted in us, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we decree so. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. The verdict is in, and we win. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You need your own gavel there too? I'll pass this one to you, and I'll get another one. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. You may not be right here in the sanctuary. Maybe you're in the overflow. Maybe you're in your home, wherever you are. Maybe in your car, out somewhere, and you're listening to this word. We encourage you to honor God with your giving at this time. Release that seed and do so bountifully. Amen. Hallelujah. By the God, my giving, the giving from our family, has greatly increased because we made a decision. We're going to honor God. And guess what? The more we give in, the more God is bringing into our lives. He's gracious. Amen? The word of God is true. God is establishing his word. And I want for everyone in this household of faith to be radical in their giving and to have a testimony of the favor of God in their lives. Amen? So just do that. Trust God. Trust God with your finances. He has promised, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Whatever it is that wants to devour your resources, God says, I will rebuke that devourer so that they don't mess with your stuff. Amen? Anything that wants to devour will be stopped. God has made that promise. It's a commitment from God. And we need to tap into everything God has for us. Hallelujah. Let this be a glorious day for every one of us. Amen. And tonight, we're going to continue with a series on destiny helpers. Amen. I'm trying to get Mama to speak to us next Sunday. It's Mother's Day next Sunday. Yes, and the mother in the house is going to speak to us. I'm going to be relaxed and just enjoying the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. And what month is this again? It's a covenant month. Amen. And guess who was born in the covenant month?
Apostle's birthday.
Hallelujah.
May 6th.
And when God looks at May that 6th, rainbow, yes. when God looks at that rainbow, he remembers me. He says, yes. I got to do something for my son. Yes.
6 is the number of man. So yes. He remembered you.
He remembered me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is the body of the Lord. He gave his body an exchange for us. That we who were once weak, sick, feeble, defeated, ashamed, will experience the opposite of that. No longer sick, we are healthy. No longer poor, we are wealthy and rich. No longer troubled, we operate in the shalom, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Father, we thank you for our elder brother and joint heir, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who instituted this and says to us, whenever you take of this body, do it in remembrance of me. We remember your covenant.
Yes,
God, remember your covenant for us. And do, according to the multitude of your mercies, gracious things for us. Blessed be your holy name, Father. We take and eat in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Take of the body and eat.
All from Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, probably an emergency, we'll deal with that later. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
We speak shalom over that. All right, take your cup of blessing. This is a cup of blessing. It's a covenant. All you heard today about God's covenant, he keeps it. Amen?
Yes, he does.
So he keeps it for us, and when we forget, he remembers for us. Mm. What a blessed people we are.
Mm.
Hallelujah. So we say, speak over, say, God.
God.
Remember me.
Remember me.
And my family.
And my family.
Remember your everlasting covenant.
Remember your everlasting covenant.
That you made.
That you made.
With our fathers.
With our fathers.
Abraham.
Abraham.
Isaac. Jacob.
Jacob.
And the covenant.
The covenant.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Has made with us.
Made with us.
With his everlasting love.
With his everlasting love.
We receive the full cup of blessing.
We receive the full cup of blessing.
We receive the power of the blood of Jesus.
We receive the power of the blood of Jesus.
And we receive the power of health.
We receive the power of health.
Power of wealth.
Power of wealth.
Power of speed.
The power of speed.
Power of doing signs and wonders.
Power of doing signs and wonders.
Of working of miracles.
Working of miracles.
Healing the sick.
Healing the sick.
Raising the dead.
Raising the dead.
Healing the deaf.
Healing the deaf.
Causing the limb to walk.
Causing the limb to walk.
Every package.
Every package.
Full package.
Full package.
Of the covenant blessing.
Of the covenant blessings.
We take now.
We take now.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We are truly blessed to know the goodness of the Lord. Please be reminded, and we'll like the video played at this point, be reminded that we have the spiritual reset meetings coming up in just a few days from now, starting on the 21st, so that's 19 days from now, 21st through the 23rd. do spread the word. There might be a lockdown and the numbers that we will be having in-house may be limited, but we can have so many people reached all around the globe. Amen? So watch this and please season it with prayers of thanksgiving. Just trust God to touch lives supernaturally. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are going to be blessed. I'm excited about having both ministers minister with us, and truly excited to have Mark Payne be part of the team. I think he might be one of the best pianists or right at the top in the world. That guy knows how to work the keyboard. And we're graced to have him, and we'll thank God for what he's going to do in our lives as his people. Amen. Want to say something? Okay. Well, bless you, those of you on YouTube and Facebook Live. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. At this time, we'll just say hello to those who are on Zoom. Sisters Judy Woloshin, Sister C.